From the American College of Cardiology, this is Dr. Kim Eagle, ACC.org Editor-in-Chief, with this week's Eagle's Eye View. This is your weekly cardiovascular update from ACC.org. I'm recording this on Monday morning, June 15th. There are four articles that I'd like to discuss, all related to COVID-19. Two of them came out just the other day in the New England Journal. One was in JAMA and one was in JACC. The first two in the New England Journal relate to this ongoing question about renin-angiotensin-aldosterone system inhibitors and the risk of COVID-19. The first article was a study looking at this question. The investigators looked at previous treatment with ACE inhibitors, ARBs, beta blockers, calcium blockers, or thiazides, and then the subsequent likelihood of having a positive test for COVID, as well as getting severe illness. They used a very interesting Bayesian method to compare patients who'd been treated with these medications and subsequent outcomes, basically doing propensity score matching to adjust for covariates. There were 12,500 patients who were tested for COVID-19, and about 6,000 were positive, and about 1,000 of these, 17%, had severe illness. A history of hypertension was present in 34% overall, and that was 59% of those who had a positive test, and 24.6% of these had a severe illness. Of course, patients with hypertension have a greater likelihood of severe illness. Then they examined the relationship between the type of medications and subsequent risk. And they found that there was no substantial increase in the likelihood of a positive test for COVID-19 or the risk of a severe infection among those who tested positive based upon class of antihypertensive medicines. So while hypertension is a risk factor for more severe infection, it does not appear from this study that the type of medication was independently associated with risk. And then this is backed up by another study this week in the New England Journal looking at the same question. Do renin-angiotensin-aldo antagonists have an effect on the risk of COVID-19? And this was a case control study from the Lombardy region of Italy. There were about 6,200 cases in whom infection with severe acute respiratory syndrome virus was confirmed between February 21st and March 11th. And they were matched to almost 31,000 beneficiaries in the regional health service according to age, sex, and municipality of residence. And they looked at the selected drugs that patients were on, and they tested the hypothesis that exposure might affect the severity and clinical manifestations of COVID-19, that is, exposure to the antihypertensive drugs. Cases and controls, average age 68, 37% were women. Obviously, ACEs inhibitors were more common in cases than controls because hypertension is more common in those who develop COVID-19. But when they looked at the specific question of use ACEs or ARBs, there was no evident hazard ratio that they affect the likelihood of getting COVID-19 or the severity of COVID-19. So these two articles, both observational in nature but large, reconfirm what we've been talking about for several weeks. It does not appear that the renin-angiotensin-aldosterone system inhibitors affect the risk or severity of COVID-19. So two more articles related to COVID-19 that I selected for this week. One of them is an interesting paper looking at temperature, humidity, and latitude, and whether or not this affects the potential spread of coronavirus. And the investigators used a very interesting analysis. It was a cohort study looking at 50 cities worldwide and asked the question, was there substantial community spread? And the data were collected from January to March 10th. They found 8 cities that had substantial spread of COVID-19, Wuhan, China, Tokyo, several cities in South Korea, Iran, Milan, Italy, of course, Paris, France, Seattle, and Madrid, Spain. And those cities were compared to 42 that appeared to have little community spread or none. And they looked at climate data, including the latitude, the mean temperature, mean specific humidity, and mean relative humidity. They then used this analysis to assess, did the climate affect potentially community spread? It's interesting. The 8 cities with substantial community spread as of March 10th, 2020 were located in a fairly narrow band, roughly 30 north to 50 north. They had similar weather patterns consisting of mean temperatures between 5 and 11 degrees Celsius. They had combined low specific humidity and low absolute humidity. and there was substantial community spread in these. For example, in Wuhan, at that time, they had over 3,000 deaths, and that's roughly 31 degrees north, whereas Moscow, at 56 degrees north, had zero deaths, while Hanoi, Vietnam, had zero deaths, and they're at 21 degrees north. The authors concluded that the distribution of the community outbreaks of COVID-19 could be affected by latitude and, of course, therefore temperature and humidity. And this may cause us to consider that this is a seasonal respiratory virus. Obviously, spread has to do with many things, including the degree to which we socially distance, wear masks, etc. But there appears to be some evidence, including this paper, which argues that there may be also weather patterns that affect the likelihood of community spread. And this, of course, would allow us to be more thoughtful in terms of targeting the types of preventive strategies, both mitigation and case study of coronavirus. All right, let's go ahead and finish with a very important paper in JACC this week. And it's an ASC statement on how we protect patients and providers with echocardiography. I really recommend this paper to you. Who should we image? Well, obviously, we want to use appropriate use criteria. We should involve referring physicians in the triage process of who to image in the COVID era. Clearly, right now, we want to think about imaging only patients where short-term treatment might be affected. During outbreaks particularly, this is a very important perspective to have. Where possible, we want to establish the COVID status of a patient before they're seen, and this allows the proper use of PPE. We want to restrict the use of procedures that are going to call aerosolization. So transesophageal echo, we want to look for alternatives. This might be a TTE, it might be CT, it might be MRI. And when we're thinking about exercise testing, really think about the amount of aerosol that's expressed during a treadmill test and defer or change that to a pharmacologic test. That really seems to be an appropriate strategy. Where should we image? Well, take advantages of the portability of echocardiography, and sometimes we want to perform these studies at the bedside. This allows us to reduce the risk of spreading the virus. For outpatients, we should screen for COVID-19 according to local protocols, and we may want to use separate rooms and/or machines for patients who are suspected or confirmed to have coronavirus. How to image? Well, this is a very interesting question, too. Point-of-care cardiac ultrasound or ultrasound-assisted physical exam in the ER can sometimes be provided by those that are directly caring for these patients, and then these scout images can be reviewed to see whether formal echocardiography should be used. Obviously, echocardiographic studies should be planned well in advance, and if we need ultrasound-enhancing agents, we should consider this before the test. Clearly, when we're doing TE, we want to limit the amount of time. And so the notion of extra time teaching or having junior personnel doing these tests in the COVID era is probably something we should strongly think about. Machines and probes should be thoroughly cleaned with standard antiviral disinfectants. Also consider whether at-risk personnel, providers over the age of 60 or pregnant or immunocompromised individuals, chronic lung disease, we should think about that group of people in terms of their risk of severe infection. I thought this ASC statement on protection of patients and those providing service with echo was very good, and I recommend it to you. Well, the COVID-19 era continues each week during this crisis. I'm trying to provide you interesting information that I think will inform practice. The COVID-19 hub on ACC is absolutely wonderful. You can find all kinds of information there. The journal scans and the links to these articles will be there today, and I recommend it to you. I hope you're staying safe, and I hope you have a good week. I look forward to talking to you again next week.